going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy to have you with us tonight. Hope you had a happy weekend, a good weekend. Hope you aren't too waterlogged, soaked, etc. But we needed the rain. So if you are, tough. Welcome to your local liberal resistance headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com and on Facebook and through social at The John Whitmer Show and on X at John R. Whitmer. Love to hear from you. Studio lines are open, so please feel free to reach out. The John Whitmer Show is expanding. I'll share this with you, a little bit of good news. Starting Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 3rd, we will be rebroadcasting the John Whitmer Show, sort of a best ofs and highlights. It'll begin airing live right here on KNSS Radio. The regular Sunday evening shows will be rebroadcast every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. So if you don't catch us or you want to hear highlights of previous episodes, if you're looking for a particular something, you know, reach out, let us know. Hey, I never caught blank, or I'd love to hear that interview you did with Newt Gingrich or, you know, Mike Pence or some of the conversations I've had with folks over the years. Reach out, let us know. But that starts May 3rd, this coming Saturday from 1 to 3. We'll be airing Saturdays from 1 to 3, the John Whitmer Show rebroadcast. And, of course, we'll be here for you every Sunday. So good news for us. Tonight, we've got a great lineup for you. 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us here live in studio to discuss his recent trip to El Salvador. No, he was not there to visit Albrego Garcia. But we'll talk with him about Congress's efforts to renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And I'll ask him to grade the president's first 100 days. So it should be a good conversation. Always thrilled to have the congressman with us when he's in town. Former chief of staff for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, Mandy Gunasekera will be with us. We've had her on the show before. She's a brilliant woman, and she'll explain why many are wondering if the Biden EPA was a regulatory agency or a money laundering operation for the DNC. Author Donald Wilkie will tell us about his analysis of this week's Supreme Court arguments on parental rights and the constitutional right to freedom of religion. And Wichita City Councilman J.V. Johnston will try to explain why some of his colleagues are considering raising taxes, specifically property taxes, to address the budget shortfall. I mean, we know they've got a budget shortfall, but look, folks, it's not a revenue problem. It's a spending problem. And we all know it. It's high time they started to address it. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls all throughout the show at 316-869-1330. Tonight, I wanted to talk during this first segment about something we did. We dealt with it in the city of Wichita, and now those of us who live on the west side of town or out in the rural parts west of West Wichita and Goddard are going to be dealing with coming up on May 13th. The USD 265 Goddard School District is preparing for a bond initiative. And they sent out this lovely, glossy, 12-page brochure funded, no doubt, with, well, it doesn't say otherwise. So, yep, there you go. So it's funded by taxpayer dollars. So taxpayer dollars sent out. This is a full-color 12-page front, back, glossy. I mean, impressive, isn't it, Phil? Yeah, it's very impressive. Paid for by taxpayer dollars, a piece of, propaganda. And it starts with Goddard Public Schools bond information book about the foundation of excellence. And then it goes into marketing, basically, why you should vote for this bond initiative. And you don't get to any of the details until the last two pages, of course, because that's, that's called bait and switch. But it starts off with the foundation of excellence and four key impacts and why you have to do this, why you got to vote yes, because it's a foundation of excellence. And so I thought, well, let's look at Goddard. Let's see how excellent is the Goddard School District. So I went to kansasopengov.org. If you ever want to look up your school and how your school's doing, just go to kansasopengov.org. And look, it's all from the Kansas Department of Education. So I looked. So let's see here. The percentage of students on track to be college and career ready for USD 265. This is the Goddard School District. 10th graders. Let's see. Math, 8% of low-income kids and 25% of the rest are college and career ready. In math. In reading, it's better. 13% of low-income 10th graders and 34% of the rest are college and career ready. And Goddard considers that a foundation of excellence. And by the way, all those stats are below the state average. But hey, they still need millions of dollars to, I guess, build their foundation of excellence. So, maybe they need that in order to staff properly. But then again, I looked again. KansasOpenGov.org. In the last 10 years, Goddard has had a 72% increase in managers. That's admin, supervisors, superintendents. 72% increase in managers and a 249.3% increase in non-teachers. They're doing a lot of hiring. They're just not putting those people to work in the classroom. But in the same 10-year period, the average number of students per teacher... Oh, well, this must be because those managers are in the classroom. Well, no, apparently not. In the same 10-year period, the average number of students per teacher has gone from 19.9 in the classroom. So one teacher for 19.9 students in 2005 to 18 last year. So it's actually gone down. It's gotten better. So why do they need to hire 72% more managers and 250% not more non-teachers? Sounds to me like they're bloated with administrative personnel. But maybe they need the money. Maybe they're building that foundation of excellence and asking for multiple millions of dollars in taxes because they're broke. Maybe they just need the money. Oh, well, no. Again, KansasOpenGov.org. They have $25,765,451 in carryover cash on hand. They got almost $26 million in the bank. So why do they need more? Wow, that's interesting. Well, man, I know. They must have lost funding. I thought that must be it. Their per pupil funding must have decreased. Because, the legislature, though that Sam Brownback and the Kansas legislature, they've been cutting funding, right? So I figure that must be it. They must have lost funding over the last 10 years. So I look, that's not right either. They get $18,966 per pupil. And that has increased by $6,700 per pupil in the last 10 years. So, wow, that's interesting. So, and by the way, over that period of time, 40% of students are proficient in reading, 36% are proficient in math, and 38% are proficient in science. So they've received almost $7,000 more per pupil, and they still can't get 50% of their students proficient. But they need more money. They need more tax dollars, And they sent out a 12-page brochure here full of lies. And then we go in here on the next page, and they talk about investing in student success. So I figure, well, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're going to put this into classrooms and, you know, AI stuff and tech. So I thought, well, that must be what they're doing. Is they're going to build classrooms, and they're going to build tech, and they're going to hire, you know, maybe paras and computers and things. Well, no, that's not it either. Let's see. They've got convert existing stadium into varsity level stadium, add enlarged home and visitor bleachers, upgrade a press box, add concessions, resurface a track, add turf, add LED to athletic fields, add weight training classrooms for health and fitness, modernize existing stadium, update a press box, renovate existing stadium, renovate a field house, resurface a track, add turf, to add new drivers, add new baseball, add new baseball, add new basketball, add new press box, resurface a track. Gee, wait a minute. I wasn't aware that all of that was going to help improve student outcome. And then it comes down to the truth of that funding I talked about and how much this is going to cost. Because they said in the beginning it was going to be cheap. This isn't going to cost us much. They advertise this as $9.82 per month on a $100,000 home. Well, that's not much. That's only 10 bucks. That's less than 10 bucks. That's cheap. Less than 10 bucks, right? For Goddard, that's, you know, a bunch of rich folks out there. But then again, if you think about it, the average residential home in Goddard, Kansas, average home value is $300,140. So in reality, when they say $9.82 per month per $100,000 home, that's not actually accurate. It's more like $35 a month. It's actually $353.52 per year in new taxes. $350 a year to buy a bunch of new sports fields, press boxes, weight rooms, and track equipment. And then it talks why we should do this. Because, quote, every child gets what they need. What they need is an education, folks, not a new track or seating or a press box. What they need to be is college and career ready when they graduate. On May 13th, voters in the USD 265 Goddard School District will be asked to vote on yet another massive multi-million dollar school bond initiative. And according to this expensive taxpayer-funded glossy mailer, the bond's only $9, but the reality is it's $353. And what will voters get for it? LED lights and activity fields, bleachers, weight rooms, upgraded press boxes, and modern stadiums. But as for the most recent survey, only 34% of Goddard students are proficient in reading. Sounds to me like every Goddard student isn't getting what they need. We'll take a quick break, and then author Donald Wilkie will tell us about this week's Supreme Court arguments on parental rights. Speaking of parental rights, they deserve an education. And the constitutional right of freedom of religion. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got some great stuff coming up, some great events coming up. Speaking of which, we're actually going to be broadcasting. We've got one more remote coming up. This is going to be rather fun. We're going to broadcast live from from AFP's office coming up on May 18th. And we'll be at their headquarters downtown. We'll have more information. You can go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But their office is at Union Station coming up on May 18th. So check out, look out on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page for more information. We'll be broadcasting live from our friends at Eck Insurance coming up on May 18th.
I think this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be. I know they're going to do some food, have some other fun. But it'll be a live broadcast, much like the fire pit the other night. Yeah. Last month, so next
which by the way was a success, I think.
Yeah,
that was a really good.
Yeah, this one will be fun too. So, okay. But at any rate, that's coming up here May 18th. Keep your mark that on your calendar. So the Supreme Court heard arguments. I can't figure a segue to that, so we're just going to do a hard segue. The Supreme Court heard arguments this week in a case regarding parental rights and public school curriculum. Specifically, the case was Mahmoud versus Taylor. The case centers on whether parents have the right to opt their children out of instruction that includes LGBTQ themes. Donald Wilkie is author of Freedom Revealed, A Simple, Elegant System. He's an entrepreneur and expert in the relationship between government, autonomy, and freedom. And he joins us now. Don, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
Pleasure to be with you, John.
So, this is that Montgomery County, Maryland case where the Board of Education approved a slate of storybooks with queer characters for K through 5 English classes, correct?
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that gets me about this case, look, if you want to read this to your kids, fine, that's up to you. That's up, you know, if you want to groom your children, I'm fine with that. But the issue here, well, I'm not fine with it, but that's your right as a parent. But the issue here is that the district is putting this in the curriculum and the parents have no right to opt out, correct?
Yeah, my understanding is that's correct. The problem I have, of course, with it is the purpose of education is to prepare a child for the marketplace. And I have no idea what this curriculum that they're talking about in the schools, how it in any way, shape, or form prepares the child for the marketplace.
Well, it doesn't, but that's a separate issue. Yeah, I mean, again, the content, you can, I don't know how you could, but some could make an argument that there's validity in the content, or maybe you're being open and creating diversity, whatever. But again, it shouldn't be mandatory. It's you know, look, if I want to teach gun control to or gun safety to my kids, that's fine. That's my right. But again, a district wouldn't make that mandatory. You'd want to allow people to opt out. By the same argument here, why shouldn't a kid or parents be able to opt their kids out of this?
Well, of course, they should be able to. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that they can't. And my point is it doesn't make any sense that it's there in the first place. It has nothing to do with preparing a child for the marketplace. And if the purpose of education, and we have a real need to prepare our children for the marketplace. The competition worldwide is getting fierce. And as you know, our educational system is becoming one of the worst in the world. We used to be the best. And we are not preparing our children for the marketplace, and especially this age. I mean, this has nothing to do with this age. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the other issue here is age appropriateness. And at kindergarten, I mean, again, if you want to have this conversation for high school kids, again, you could make the argument one way or the other whether you think it's right content-wise.
Or if you want to have it at your home with your child.
Exactly.
I mean, that's your prerogative, right?
Right. Well, and the groups that's suing here are mostly Christian and Muslim parents, and they're arguing that exposing their children to this type of content is basically forcing them to instruction that violates their religious beliefs and directly interferes with their ability to direct the religious upbringing of their children. And I mean, I think it's far more insidious than that, but I think there's some validity to their arguments.
You know, this is maybe a little bit off the subject, but I saw Marco Rubio on Meet the Press today, and they were trying to get him. You know, we give Kristen Welker was giving a bunch of gotcha questions.
I saw this.
He made a very simple point. He said, "You know, if we have illegal mothers who have had anchor babies, and we deport the mothers, it is up to the mother to take the child. It's not for us to say the child can't go."
Right.
And this is the point with parenting. You know, parents have this propriety over their children, and they should be able to work with that propriety. They should have the say of what can and cannot be done with their children. I mean, they have the legal right to make decisions. They have the legal right to make decisions for vaccinations. They have the legal right to do all sorts of things with their child that the school really doesn't.
But that's not the mindset that we're dealing with. Keep in mind, this is the Hillary Clinton it takes a village mindset, and they don't see it that way. They think it's the government should play a bigger role than it should. We're talking with Donald Wilkie, author of Freedom Revealed, A Simple, Elegant System. The books at the center of this case, Don, include A Prince and Knight, featuring a young prince who falls in love with, of course, a knight, who then helps him protect his kingdom from a dragon, and Uncle Bobby's Wedding, about a little girl whose favorite uncle is marrying another man. And again, look, if you want to have this discussion in your home or whatever, but is this appropriate material for kindergartners? And I just, that's where I come down on this, is it's not appropriate, I don't believe. And either way, that should be a parental decision. And it seemed like, based on the questions and the demeanor and some of the responses, that the Supreme Court seems to be likely to rule for parental opt-out. That would be my gut. What's your take on that?
Well, if they don't, they're fools. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking back at my education. Everybody can look back at their own education. And am I going to say, oh, my God, there's a huge gaping hole in my education because when I was a kindergartner, I didn't learn about gay and lesbian relationships?
I didn't either, and I don't feel like it cost me anything not learning about that when I was a kindergartner.
Exactly. I mean, this thing's ridiculous, and the more ridiculousness we can stop, the better it is.
Don,
I'm all for that. That is freedom.
If folks want information, if they want a copy of the book, again, the book is called Freedom Revealed, A Simple, Elegant System. They can find them at freedomrevealed.net, correct?
That's correct. Amazon is always a good place to look for the book, and I have a lot of videos up on Substack that I think your audience would enjoy.
Don, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us this evening. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks so much, John.
Coming up, former chief of staff at the EPA, Mandy Gunasekera, will explain why so many are wondering if the Biden EPA was a regulatory agency or just a money laundering operation for the Democrat Party. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And, of course, you can always get us live with the free Odyssey app in order to get started. And, of course, remember, starting Saturday the 3rd, this show will be rebroadcast Saturdays from 1 to 3. And while you're at it, make sure you check us out on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show. And you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Republicans in Congress are launching a probe into a Biden-era green energy grant program that sent billions of taxpayer dollars into climate groups tied to Democrats and former President Joe Biden's allies. GOP leaders on the House Energy and Commerce Committee sent letters to the 8 nonprofits awarded grants from the $20 billion greenhouse gas reduction program, seeking answers to ensure the Biden and EPA followed proper ethics and conflict of interest protocols. I guess we know how that's going to come out. With us now to tell us more about the probe is former chief of staff at the EPA, Mandy Gunasekera. Mandy, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
So you know, why am I not surprised that there's a lack of oversight related to how this money was being dispersed? I mean, this is the same administration that, you know, brought us the organized departure from Afghanistan. Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen this song and dance before, and it seems to occur quite often during the Obama administration and then the Biden administration.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it was the same people running the same offices.
Right.
The biggest difference is during the Biden administration, you had Democrats in Congress award EPA $20 billion. This is double the agency's standard operating budget. It's since grown, but when I was there, their standard operating budget, and they handed this agency $20 billion without doing anything to fix problems that had long plagued the agency's grants programs. You can't see me, I'm air quoting grants programs, because as you aptly put it, a lot of these so-called grants that were set aside purportedly to help create some tangible environmental improvement actually just went to groups that were busy expanding the political power of the left instead of doing anything good for public health or the environment.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing doesn't come as any surprise to me. We've got a perfect example of Joe Biden's government efficiency right outside our building here. We are in a large building. The entire third floor is now occupied by Department of Homeland Security. And out back, and literally this is in the rear of the building. You have to know where to get to the rear of this building. I mean, it's an obscure location. But there are two charging stations for electric vehicles back here. And these are two of the six or eight that the entire Biden administration built nationwide. So they're available for public, but the Homeland Security is always parked there, and they're back here in remote locations. But the Biden administration could tell you that there are two of them that are built in Kansas. Nobody could find them. And this is a perfect example, though, of how Joe Biden's administration didn't bother to follow protocols, didn't bother to do any fact checking on this. A case in point, $2 billion from this GGRF fund went to Stacey Abrams. I mean, talk about corruption, just rank corruption. How did she get money? What has she ever done to qualify her for a climate grant?
Yeah, well, purportedly, she was a part of some group that was busy going from home to home in low-income, vulnerable communities, as they define them, environmental justice communities, and trying to convince people to swap out their gas stoves for electric powered stoves. That was the whole setup for this organization Stacey Abrams was affiliated with. But, you know, we've seen this again. This money wasn't designed to help the environment or address public health issues. It really was designed to go and to grow the power of the political left.
Right.
For example, some of these grant dollars, certainly Stacey Abrams, she's notorious. She is a political activist for the left that has done all sorts of things to improve and expand their reach throughout the South. But some of the EPA funds went to an organization that handed them out to groups in New York that was busy trying to find ways to have illegal aliens sign up to vote in New York. So, you know, and they do all of this under the rubric of environmental justice or climate change. And the reason they do that, because if any normal person asks a question about environmental justice or climate change, instead of answering the actual question, which tends to be legitimate, like how are you using these funds and how are they actually helping advance the mission, they can just say, well, you're being racist, or you're being a bigot, or you're a climate denier. They come up with all these monikers,
right,
to distract from very legitimate questions and very clear avoidances of oversight and its absolute misspending of taxpayer resources.
You know, the other thing that you notice here, I mean, you've got the Stacey Abrams one. There's another $7 billion to Climate United, which was a group that received most of the money, currently staffed by former Biden climate advisor who worked during the last 2 years of the president's term and then turned around. Some of these organizations were literally formed within days of the grant being funded. It's almost like they set up the fund and then they turned around and created organizations to apply for the fund. It's like government insider trading almost.
Yeah, and you see that. You see that at EPA. You see that at USAID. You see it at all of these agencies. And it's almost as if the agencies are addressing some hyper-emotional issue that increases the likelihood of bad actors. And so it was especially prevalent at USAID and EPA. But it is crazy for me to see, because I've been a political appointee during the first Trump administration. And when you go in, you have to engage in all sorts of disclosures. You have to ensure that you take very careful steps to not engage with any meetings, much less business from a regulatory perspective, engagements with prior clients or prospective clients. There's all these loops you have to go through, and there are these chief ethics councils that are supposed to enforce it. It's interesting to see during the Biden administration, they seem to have forgotten that protocol, or in the event people were actually called out, they just got a little wrist slap here and there. During the Trump administration, it was very much night and day, and it's a double standard, in the sense that they will hold Republican appointees to this ethical standard that's designed really to subvert their ability to be effective and experts acting in a policy realm of which they have experience and networks. That's important. Where in the Democrat administrations, they let them engage in this type of corrupt self-dealing, the likes that you just explained, where you had someone in charge of a regulatory program awarding $1 billion of funds to a previous organization that he worked for, and then he ends up at the end of it going to work for it to this day, as far as we know. So it's just the worst kind of self-dealing. And rightfully, I mean, taxpayers should be very upset because this is just creating this cycle of cushy jobs where people use taxpayer funds, but not to go to any tangible societal benefit or push some broader societal improvement that they are purportedly tasked with.
We're talking with former chief of staff at the EPA, Mandy Gunasekera. Mandy, let me ask you, several of these groups now that were recipients of this money have sued the Trump administration over their attempts to rake back the funds. And of course, an Obama appointed judge, Judge Chutkan, the one who was also, I mean, she's a Trump hater, so big shock. She's now issued a temporary restraining order preventing the EPA from freezing the grant funds. How do you think this is all going to play out?
I think ultimately, you know, we have the Supreme Court that is the ultimate check, and a lot of these decisions will ultimately be appealed, and they will work their way out. It's frustrating to see, but it's also good for the public to have a clear picture now of the fact that every single institution that's important to our democracy has been corrupted by people who've lost sight of relative missions. And instead of enforcing things like public health and the environment, they're just trying to boost their own personal wealth or that of their family. It's not really about doing anything good. And so the silver lining, at least for now, is we have a clear picture of this. And that's actually a huge improvement, because remember, it wasn't that long ago when the president would talk about the deep state. And I would characterize this self-dealing, the cycle of self-dealing prevalent in the Democrat administrations, as a part of that whole deep state status quo that really undermines DC's purpose and the business of our constitutional republic. It's good for the American people to see that. I think ultimately, though, these decisions are being appealed. Administrator Zeldin, who is running EPA right now, he's doing a fantastic job. He has a legal background. A lot of the people who work for him are some of the best in the business in terms of understanding the legal ins and outs. I think eventually all of this will go the way of the right, which is the way of the law. And there's nothing in the law that allows a previous administration to award $20 billion to push it outside of the reach of oversight and accountability and ultimately get away with it.
You know, it's sad, and yet the media has been demonizing DOGE and the efforts, and they're just say all the whining and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And yet you find stories like this, and it seems so clear cut. But if you listen to the media, it's just mean and heartless. And, oh, we're just trying to, you know, throw grandma off the cliff and whatnot.
Right. Well, you know, these people who've engaged in this corrupt scheme, they've been throwing or shoveling, I should say, buckets full of taxpayer money right. off the cliff. And that right. should be very upsetting to the general public. And so the Department of Government Efficiency, it's fantastic work because it's about time for the American people to see exactly how their funds are being wasted. This is hard-earned money going into these coffers where no one has a clear picture of where it goes, how it's spent, and what does it ultimately do. And that flies in the face of how the system was actually set up to operate. And so this, you know, shining sunlight is an important first step to reestablishing accountability, which has been a priority of President Trump's and certainly a priority of the cabinet officials he's designated to run these various agencies.
Well, Stacey Abrams still thinks she's governor. So if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X. I know we follow each other on X, but you're at Mississippi MG on X, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, always great to be with you.
We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, my friends at Americans for Prosperity, great group of folks. They absolutely, if you're looking for a way to get involved, you can make your voice heard today by visiting Americans for Prosperity. .org. And coming up next month, we'll be broadcasting live, taking the show on the road downtown to AFP's offices in Union Station. We'll be doing our last of the remotes. Would have been a Topeka remote, but the legislature just too dang fast. They did their jobs too quickly. So my friends at Eck Insurance are sponsoring us on a trip downtown. We're going to be broadcasting live from AFP's offices at Union Station. So that should be pretty cool coming up here, third week, I believe. Let me look. Thinking fast on my feet, which I'm not good at. May 18th. Yep. Third Sunday. So, also I want to remind you starting Saturday, May 3rd, we'll be rebroadcasting the John Whitmer Show on Saturdays from 1 to 3. So if you didn't catch the show, you'll be able to hear live bits and pieces from this and other shows rebroadcast right here on Saturdays from 1 to 3. And, of course, don't forget to catch my carry-on commentaries every weekday here on KNSS 3 times a day. Those one-minute commentaries are coming up. Daryl, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Yes. Boy, it's been a while. I think I talked to you right before the Trump election, and we were feeling pretty good about it then, but I really want to talk about Laura Kelly. And
okay.
I think she's done such a bad job here recently that there's no way that any Democrats ever going to win again in office. We should have won with Schmidt. I still can't believe we didn't win that. I still don't know what was going on there.
Well, they had help. I mean, she would not have won had Republicans stuck together.
Yeah,
there
was like 100,000 voted for Moran that voted for Kelly. I do not believe that. I just cannot believe that. I just don't believe that a radical leftist. I'll tell you what it was. I think that was Bill Graves and Hayden doing out there pulling for her on TV?
You know, they
were
those
they paid
two
off or what?
No, those two are pretty much. You know, I'm not a big.
And Hayden were out there publicizing her and pumping her, and I thought,
oh yeah,
who the hell's paying them off? Because I mean, are they going to back another radical
probably
leftist this time?
I think there are Republicans that are. I mean, I think those two are the quintessential example of Republicans in name only. And sadly, I think Nancy Kassebaum is beginning to fall into that group as well. But those two have endorsed every Democrat in the last couple of elections. They did the same thing in a few other races, and I think sadly that's what you're going to see.
I mean, I was too young before Mike Hayden was our governor, but he seemed like a pretty conservative governor. What happened to him? Why was he back? And she's as woke as they get. How can any conservative Kansan governor back her when they knew her record and everything she's done? I just don't understand that.
It's
there
tough.
Has to be some reason for that.
I actually don't think that it's a reason. I just think they're true believers. I think if you look at them, I think and I appreciate the call, Daryl. I just think they, you know, those two and a number of others. I served with a number of them, and the more they've drifted the left, and I don't think the Republican Party has necessarily moved to the right necessarily. I think we've always been right center right, and I just think that you know, some of these folks were never really Republicans in many cases, and you know, case in point, Jean Schodorf. You know, she was a Republican, and then she just came out and admitted what she was, which was a Democrat all along. So, Ed, thanks for sticking around. You're on the John Whitmer Show.
And she just came out and admitted what she was.
Ed, are you there?
Ed, thanks for sticking around.
And you might want to turn down your microphone in there, turn down your speakers in the background.
Got it. Unless more of what you're teaching, kindergartners in the school, and about the sex stuff.
Yep.
When I was in grade school in the 40s and the 50s, they used to have educational movies. How to date, you know, things kids ought to do. And they had one on homosexuals. And they said, stay away from them. And that went clear up into the 60s. Because I just saw this movie on it after a TV show I watched on TV just a couple of years ago, and they showed this film. And somebody pulls up, don't get in the car with them and all that, because they have a mental illness. Well, clear up into the 60s, they knew what that was all wrong. What happened?
You know, it's a good question, Ed. I'm not going to, you know, punt. I'm not going to take a swing at that one, but yeah. What I will tell you is it's certainly not a place to, it certainly shouldn't be mandatory. And I think the real tragedy here, and I the reason it came up in the interview is I gave the example of gun safety, because I ran the bill in the Kansas legislature for the Eddie Eagle, which is, you know, basically find a gun, stop, don't touch it, run away, tell an adult. And the Democrats all said, oh, you can't teach that, you can't teach it. It wasn't mandatory, it was just an option. And yet here you have a school district that is requiring this kind of material. It's wholly inappropriate, and it certainly shouldn't be mandatory. So stick around. We'll take a quick break. And then after the top of the hour break, 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will be with us. We'll be back right after this.